might be loud. Sounds loud to me, but that cough out of the way. It makes people nervous anymore when you cough. Have you noticed that? It really does. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we get started. Thank you, dear God, for today and everyone that's gathered here, dear God. And I ask, dear Heavenly Father, that for myself to stay out of the way, God, and let me not suppress the Holy Spirit, but allow Him to speak through me the way that I should do this, dear God. And I know that You'll bless the words that comes out of my mouth because it's coming out of Your Word, the Bible. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This message may be a little bit different. I always kind of like to try that, you know. I mean, and you may see this as I start preaching. The service's success, though, will be up to you. And I think as we go through this, you'll realize how much of an impact or how much weight you carry in a message. The Holy Spirit is who is going to try to speak through me, and that's the third Godhead, right? When Jesus left and ascended into heaven, He sent a Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, when we get saved, we all get the Holy Spirit inside of us, to live inside of us, to teach us, to show us which way we should go and which ways we should not go. So this morning, and I've heard a lot of people say this in services, they'll try to pray the Holy Spirit down to fill this room. I've heard them say all kinds of things, but if you look around, and if we're all saved people, the room is full of the Holy Spirit, right? We've just got to learn as a people how to let the Holy Spirit go. Let Him come out. Let Him react like I'm supposed to try to stay out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me. You as a congregation should allow the Holy Spirit to let you react to what I'm saying the way that He wants you to react. You know what I'm saying? That might be a going way around the horn there. Last Sunday, as Bruce said, I preached about Ananias and his hidden sin. And ask all of you if you were like me and had a sin that you kept repeating. And then Carl put some confirmation on that, and I'm not kidding, stood for about 10 minutes and talked exactly about the same thing I did Sunday morning. And that was pretty cool, but I believe that was confirmation, and that's what we all as a church needed to hear. The sins that you keep repeating, sin will hurt you, and we learned that in the story of Ananias. It will take power from you and the church, and it will quench the Holy Spirit. Not sure what that was. Somebody hit a fly, sounded like. But the church having power. Power in the Bible is so important. I mean, if the church is powerless, we can't do anything, can we? We can't rule, or we can't rule. That's what we'd like to do, rule the community. We can't be an influence on our community, much less be an influence on the world. I mean, if you flick the TV on any time in 2020, and we talked about 2020 Sunday night, you can see where the world's at. And you sometimes I wonder, how did we get to this point? Did you ever think that? How in the world are we where we're at today? But it's because the church has lost power. If the church was as powerful as it should be, we would have leaders that were Christian people, right? Because that's who we would elect, Christian leaders. I want to go first to 2 Kings 13, verse 21. 2 Kings 13, verse 21. And it's just a verse. And it came to pass as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. And they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down, touched the bones of Elisha, and he revived, and he stood up on his feet. Now that's power. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, having power. Do you realize we could have that kind of power? We could. We could. If we lived a life the way God wants us to do, we could all have power like this. That's awesome. Elisha had been dead for years, I guess, because his bones is what this dead man touched. And when he touched his bones, the guy revived and was alive. Elisha didn't say anything like, rise up or get him by the hand to pick him up. It was just touching his bones that he revived him. In Acts 5, this is 15 through 16. We're just going to read a few verses this morning. This may be a super fast message. Maybe the fastest one I've ever preached. And maybe not. Acts chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Insomuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by mightest overshadow one of them. There came also multitudes out of the city round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Even the shadow of Peter was powerful. Did you realize? I mean, that's what this is saying. Even Peter's shadow that would even touch the people was power. Peter was a very powerful man, very powerful. There's so many parts in the Bible that teaches us if we have gotten rid of all those little bitty things in our life and got ourselves cleaned up, how powerful we can be. Remember when Jesus cursed the fig tree? Him and the disciples were walking along headed to a town. If I was a Bible scholar, I could tell you where they were going. That really doesn't matter in my story. They were going to town and the fig tree didn't have figs on it, and Jesus cursed the fig tree. And on the way back, one of the disciples looked at that fig tree and was amazed because, I mean, it was dead. It was dead. And they said, Lord, the fig tree that you cursed is dead. And he told them, you can do things like this, and even greater things you can do if you only believe. If you only believe. Don't doubt. I've prayed this week hard. After last week, I prayed this week more than I ever have, and it probably wasn't still enough. But I prayed that God would give me a message that would convince everyone to totally sell out to Jesus. Totally sell out. Totally. And that would be a feat in itself if we could, as individuals, sell out totally to Jesus. No more one foot in the world and one foot on Jesus. I mean, that's hard to do. Hard to do. But that seems like what we do, and that's that little sin that I was talking about. That's that one foot. That's the foot we keep in the world, right? We want Jesus. I mean, we're all here this morning for some reason, right? Hate to say it, but sometimes when I was going to church, I'd just get up because it was Sunday morning. It was a habit. Now, it's a good habit. We should want to come to church, but we should come to church to want to get plugged into the power of God. We are after a week of being in the world, for sure, if we just come on Sunday morning. 1 hour is all we got to get charged up for the rest of the whole week. Now, Monday morning, most of us, will go to a job. And then we will be attacked by the world. As soon as we walk out these doors, we'll be attacked by the world. So today is the day that we've got to get charged up, right? That's why we come to church, to get our batteries charged up. We want a full charge when we hit them doors back there. And I will do my best, I promise, to do that. Now, thinking about this awesome message that I've been praying for led me to Matthew 7:7-8. That's where we want to go next. Matthew 7:7-8. I usually do a whole lot more reading out of the scripture than this, but this is where I truly believe that God sent me. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. After reading that and thinking and studying on it for just a little while, the prayer that I prayed all week, I can't do. I can't preach that message that will convince you to totally sell out to God. It's up to you, right? It's up to you. Because this verse says, ask. That's not me. I can't ask for you. I can't seek for you. And I can't knock for you. It's totally up to you guys and me. And me. It's all you. It's all about free will. I can't. It is just all up to you. That free will thing is something that I can't do for you and you can't do it for me. We can have power if we want it. It's what this scripture's telling me. Jesus will give us power if we totally sell out to him. Now, I've got a story. I've shared this. And if I repeat these stories, my dad done it my whole life, so you can handle it, I promise. And he still does, except now they're a little different. When I was 16, 17 years old, I took karate class for about 9 months, and the only thing that I learned really was that I wasn't tough at all. There was a lot of people tougher than me. But what I did learn was we had a guy came to the studio one time to spar with us all, and there was a whole bunch of guys. I was one of the lower people there, lower belts, but there were some guys that were really good in our class. And this second-degree black belt came from Poplar Bluff. His name was Mr. Carter, and heavy on the mister. I mean, he was tough. But he was the kind of a guy that he wouldn't give you more than, he wouldn't overwhelm you. I mean, he could spar with the little guy and make the little guy feel pretty good about himself, you know? But he would give you all that you ask for. You see where I'm going with this? So will God. Now, this second-degree black belt was, as far as we were considered being students, he was all-powerful when he walked in there on the mat because he could handle himself against anybody there. Now, God can handle himself on the mat against anybody there too, right? And he will give you all that you want. I truly believe in my heart and my being, we can be as powerful as we want if we ask. He'll give it to us. I believe that. Elisha asked for twice what Elijah had. And Elijah was an awesome prophet. I mean an awesome prophet. And he done amazing miracles. Prayed down fire from heaven was Elijah. And he ran back when there was a small cloud forming in the sky after about a 3-year drought. And he prayed that it would rain. And a little bitty cloud the size of a man's hand appeared in the sky. And he told them, you better get back to town because it's fixing on raining. And the guy on a chariot or a horse, I know it was a horse. It might have been pulling a chariot, but I think the guy was just on a horse. And Elijah beat him back to town. He could run fast too. But he was powerful. But Elisha prayed that he would get twice the power that Elijah had. And he did. God give it to him. Now, I'm not telling you God's going to give us a new boat because ours is 5 years old. But if we pray for things that will benefit the Lord, he'll give it to us. He'll give it to us. I lost my place. Okay, Sunday night was an awesome night, I thought. I think it worked out really well. And I think we grew as a small group. We learned a little bit about each other, I think. And that's good. Sunday nights are awesome because, I mean, we do learn some different stuff. And it's open discussion. If I'm up here yapping about something, if somebody wants to correct me in the corner, they can jump right up. Or if they've got a comment, that's what's good about Sunday nights. But we did talk about positive things that happened. And I talked about Alex getting saved. And I'm proud of Alex. You know why I'm proud of Alex? Because it's hard. And I've been sitting in those pews. And it's hard to get up in front of a whole bunch of people. You've got 80 good, heavy-duty Christian people here that have been going to church for 25 years. And you're feeling like you've sins in your life. And it's convicting you. And it's hard to get up in front of all those people and walk down here. Most people will bring somebody with them, if you've noticed. Alex never. He just popped up and walked right up here. He wasn't afraid or ashamed of God at all, was he? Well, he'll be rewarded for this stuff. He really will, because we can't be ashamed of God. And when we stand up and we walk that aisle, God pays attention. And the angels in heaven, they rejoiced that day, and they probably still are. And I talked about how proud I was of Alex and how proud I was of Tristan for doing the same thing, getting saved and baptized, and he's ready to roll. He's ready to grow as a Christian now. But we talked about lots of good stuff. And there was somebody that stood up and said, he praised God for some stuff, but he had a burden on his heart for his kids. And he talked, and as he talked and was telling about how he was worried about his kids, I felt horrible in myself because I don't have that burden. I don't have that burden, and he did. And man, I was blessed from it, and that's what stemmed this message this morning. It's what he said. And I thought about Matthew 7, right on down, 9 and 10. If you look right on down, Matthew chapter 7, 9 and 10, it says, "Or what man is there of whom, if he ask his son ask bread, would he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, would he give him a serpent?" We do good things for our kids, right? We meet our kids' needs. I remember raising kids. It wasn't that long ago. It was a few years ago. I mean, there was basketball shoes beyond needs, but these are needs for the kids. We had them that played baseball. We had to get the cleats and the ball gloves, and the ball glove was okay, but it seemed like you couldn't wear the same shoes every year because you need white shoes this year for ball, but then they wanted black shoes the next year. I mean, you meet these, and we did. We did. We tried to give our kids better than we had. Ain't that what we try to do as a people? We try to give our kids better than we have. We meet our kids' needs no matter what. I remember when Chad got 13 or 14 and it was about time for him to go deer hunting. I took an old 22 and a shotgun I had, and we went to Norma's Guns in Ironton, and we traded that for a single shot 223. And man, I was proud to give my son a rifle, you know, and he's going to be a deer hunter. And I put a good scope on it, not a great scope, but I put a good one on it, and I bought good ammo, Remington Corelocs. They're not sponsoring this at all, but that's what I like to shoot. I threw that name in there for, no. But I wanted to give him every advantage when he squeezed that trigger. I didn't want it to be my fault if he missed the deer. So I wanted to give him everything that I could think of, as good as I could give him, so he would make that shot and he wouldn't miss that deer. And after this guy stood up, I thought, I didn't want it to be my fault if he missed the deer, but will it be my fault if he misses heaven? Will it? It could be. I think it could be if I don't do my job. Have I equipped him with the tools he needs spiritually? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think I've done enough, because I don't have that burden for my kids like I should. Like I should. If I'm sitting out there or even up here, when I do the altar call, I should drop my mic and I should be right there on my face for my kids. Right? Chad's a lawyer now in Jeff City, and I'm proud of him. Got a good job, making good money. He didn't deer hunt this year. He's too busy. And he don't go to church either. And what am I doing about it? Do I think about it a lot? No, I don't. He's up there, out of sight, out of mind. And not that I don't think about my son. I love him, and I'd do anything for him. But I don't pray enough for him. I don't have a burden for him. And I'm going to get a burden for my kids. We should have a burden for our kids. You see, eternity, hell, is forever. It's forever. I don't think we understand eternity, how long it is. The Bible says, hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's a place of constant torment. We don't want our kids to go to a place like that, do we? Remember Lazarus and the rich man? Lazarus was really poor and he was a beggar and didn't have nothing. Of course, the rich man had all. He had it all. But when they both died, the rich man was in hell. And the Bible says he lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom being comforted. And he asked Abraham, said, "Father Abraham, please send Lazarus that he would dip the tip of his finger in water and quench my tongue, because I'm tormented in this place." Tormented. And he begged for somebody to go back and tell his brothers how bad hell was. But Abraham said, they've got the prophets. They've got the old preachers that are yapping at you, trying to tell you how hot hell is. But he was concerned about his brothers then, wasn't he? Hell's not a place where we want to go. No way. And we certainly do not want our kids to go there, right? I mean, so how do we keep our kids out of hell? I mean, that's what, as parents, we should do, right? First, like I talked about last week, we got to get our lives straightened out first. We've got to. We've got to get rid of all the sin, even that little sin that I talked about last week. We got to get it out. And this is how we get our power back and the church gets its power back, right? If we're a church congregation, as many people as here, and we're sitting here and walk in that door sinless, we've gotten rid of that sin, we've conquered it, we've defeated it, and we have a lot. I think you could look back at your life as an individual and say, man, I remember when I used to do this, 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 and this. I just got this that I got to get rid of. And you have got to get rid of that for us all as a congregation to be powerful. Then and only then can we get on our knees after we've got our own lives straightened out. Then and only then can we get on our knees before an almighty God and pray for our kids' souls. We need a burden for our kids. Remember Matthew 7, 7 and 8. I turned a page. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. It's not, it doesn't say he that knocketh, I mean, most of the time it will be opened. It says it will be opened. Now, this is us coming to God with our own lives cleaned up. Okay, we can't have no trash. God can't live in sin. I mean, the Holy Spirit won't work in sin, in a sinful body. So we've got to get rid of that. I would do anything for my kids. I would. I'd fight the meanest, roughest guy in here for them. And I sure hope I don't have to do that. But I would, wouldn't you? You would. Because we love our kids more than anything. So you would do anything for your kids, right? We'd do anything for our kids, right? Well, let's prove it. Let's prove it. Let's get out of our comfort zones. These chairs are nice. They're padded and they're soft. But I challenge you this morning. Let's come up here and let's pray for our kids. Now, there might be some of us sitting in the congregation, or kids are in church, they're deacons in a church, or they're high powerful people or something like that in the church. Maybe they're all saved, and if they are, great. Then boogie up here and pray for somebody else that you know their kids are not. Because I can tell you, if you don't have kids to pray for, you can pray for mine. You can pray for mine. So let's all come up forward this morning, and we don't have to have a song, because it's not an invitation. It's asking you, are you really concerned about your kids' souls? Now, if we're really concerned, we'd do anything for our kids, right? We buy them all that they want in the world. So can we help supply their needs this morning by asking God to save their souls? Bring them under conviction. Let's all gather here. We ain't ashamed to say we love our kids, are we? I'm going to shut this mic off, and we're all just going to get right up here, and we're going to pray for our kids' souls. Okay? Let's do that.